Good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Church. Good morning to everyone online. If you're online, say hello. Maybe comment on, if you're on Facebook or on YouTube, you can comment both places, say hello. We are praying for a lot of you out there who have sent in prayer requests. We are praying for everyone. Speaking of prayer, I wanted to start just this morning by reading a prayer. One of my favorite preachers of all time is Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who lived in the 1800s. He's considered the Prince of Preachers. And I have a book where it has recorded his prayers that he did before each service. This is the prayers he would pray before the congregation, which was several thousand people. And I thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool to read one of these prayers and incorporate it into our service. We're going to have a little bit different service today because just by the Lord's direction, we've been going through the book of Genesis, but not today. We're going to go through something else. But I want to read a prayer just to start us off. And Father, glorify thy name. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Some of us have to thank thee for many mercies bestowed. We thank thee for them, for we feel that we are entirely in thy hands in all respects. He spoke with these in thy, so I'll do the same. Others of us have been brought very low, bruised full sore, but having a little strength remaining. We desire to praise and bless the giver of every gift. Thou art good when thou givest, and thou art good when thou hast taken away. You are good when the night gathers heavy upon us. You are good when the sun shines and glads our pathway. You are always good and do good. And blessed be the name of the Lord from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. And through the night watches, let his praise be celebrated. In the recollection of all that you have done for us, your people, we are filled with amazement as well as with gratitude that you should have loved us before the foundation of the world, that sovereign love should have pitched upon us poor unworthy ones, that you should so love us as to redeem us with the blood of Jesus and give your only begotten to die for unworthy creatures like to us, that you should love us notwithstanding our sins and transgressions, that you should love us despite the hardness of our hearts and the rebellion of our nature. It is strange, it surpasses belief at times, yet do we know it to be so? And since the hour when we knew your love and learned to say, Abba, Father, we do confess we have been unworthy still. We have but little felt your goodness. We have often acted very ungratefully, very distrustfully. But Lord, you have not changed. You still do your faithfulness abound to your servants, for which again we can only say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Especially we would make mention of the goodness of the Lord during another year. Each believer here has trodden a different pathway. To some it has been a very smooth road, and to others a very rough climb. To some a deep descent into the valley of sorrow and humiliation. But you have led your people by a right way. With all the twisting of the wilderness march, we are persuaded that when you lead us about, still we go the nearest way. You know best, and oftentimes to retreat is to advance, and to be beaten back is to make sure the surest headway. We would again, in the recollection of the whole year, whatever it may have been, lift up the song of grateful praise, raise another stone of help to record the loving kindness of our God. And now do we hoist sail and draw up anchor to sail into another year. This must have been at the beginning of the year, but we're going to claim it for this new year, as, of course, last year was a tremendously uncertain year of COVID. This year we're going to claim that God's going to lead us into another year because he's our Lord. Amen? Amen. Oh, you blessed pilot of the future as of the past, we are so happy to leave all to thee. But in leaving all to thee, we have one wish, and it is that you would lead us in this next year to glorify the Father's name in us more than in another year of our lives. Perhaps this may involve deeper trial, but let it be that if we can glorify God. Perhaps this may involve being cast aside from the service that we love, but we would prefer to be laid aside if we could glorify you better. Perhaps this may involve the ending of all life's pleasant work and the being taken home. Well, thy children make no sort of stipulations with their God, but this one prayer ascends from all true prayers this morning. Father, glorify your name. Will you glorify yourself, great Father, by making us more holy? Purge us every day, we beseech you, from the selfishness that clings to us. Deliver us from the fear of man, from the love of approbation, so far as these might lead us astray. Help us to be resolute and self-contained, to do and think and speak the right thing at all times. Give us great love to our fellow man. May we love them so that we could die for them if need be. Above all, blessed Jesus, our Redeemer, let your love to us fire us with love to you. Stamp your dear image on our hearts and let us never wander from the path of complete obedience to your will. Here we stand asking to be washed again in the open fountain that every sin may be put away, but also begging to be washed in the water from the riven side that flows, that every wrong desire, every base aspiration, everything contrary to the mind of God may be utterly taken away from us. We beseech thee, strengthen thy servants for the battles of another year. Give them courage for all the trials. Give them grace for all the joys. Help us to be a holy and a happy people. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak well of his name, and whatever their distress may be at all times, yet over all may they lift up notes of perpetual joy, glorifying in the name of the Lord their God. We ask thee, O God, at this time to revive religion in our land. Oh, that you would be pleased to speak by your Holy Spirit, that the gospel's power may be known. There may be many that run away from the truth. Lord, hold fast to it. Bind us to it. Maybe there will be a people found in this place and throughout all the land that will abide by the doctrines of your gospel, come what may. May we not be ashamed to be old-fashioned and to be thought fanatical. May we not wish to be thought cultured or aim to keep abreast of the times. May we be side by side with thee, O bleeding Savior, and content to be rejected, be willing to take up unpopular truth and hold fast, despise teachings of sacred writ, even to the end. Oh, make us faithful and faithful until death. And now, Lord, bless this people, this, our beloved church. You have been very gracious to us. Be gracious to us still. Oh, that we had health and strength to labor here as our hearts desires. May it please thee yet to give us these. But if not, use what there is of us till the last is gone. And be pleased ever to find some one or other to go in and out before this people, to feed them with knowledge and understanding. Father, glorify thy name. We ask thee once more that you would, by some means, cause peace to be reestablished throughout the earth. Grant that this nation may not be drawn. No, this is a time of war they're going to go into. We pray that your kingdom come without the use of sword. He goes on, oh, that the sword of the Lord put itself into the scabbard and be still for the great Prince of Peace, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. This was a prayer on December 30th, 1877. Oh, that we would have prayers like this in our lives. Oh, that we would be a church of prayer. I want to talk to you guys today about what it means to be a church. What exactly is the church supposed to be about? I think, and, you know, I feel like going down to the ground. Oh, that's better. That's much better. So I feel a little awkward up there sometimes. I just want to talk to those few of us who are here and those who are watching online and those who maybe watch at some point. What exactly is the church supposed to be about? There's a lot of churches around, right? There's a lot of options. And what it means to go to church and be a part of a church, and what exactly is the church to be about? And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to look at other churches and to say, well, we're not like them. We're small. We must be failing because we're not as big as they are. We don't have the accoutrements and the amenities as some churches. We don't have that, you know. What exactly is the church supposed to be about? And I think, this came up as a result of some conversations I've had recently, and just was thinking, really, what are the criteria of the church? What are we about to be about? Biblically speaking, not culturally speaking. Culturally, you can set up a building and gather followers. You can put up a circus act and gather followers and call yourself a church. But is that really what the Church of Christ is supposed to be about? First and foremost, of course, a church is a place of worship, right? We are to gather to worship the Lord. That's the ultimate thing, is we come and we gather to worship the Lord. Yes, we are the body of Christ during the rest of the week, but as far as a body of believers, we gather to worship the Lord. I'm going to have you cover or go to a lot of scripture. We're going to do a little Bible study today. Lots of scripture. And I'm going to share three primary images. Okay, the first image is a house of prayer. That's the first image. Jesus, of course, says, my house will be a house of prayer. He goes, go to Matthew 21. Actually, a place of worship, too. Let's go to a place of worship first. Go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians. I'm going to have you go to Ephesians and then Colossians, just to cover some bases here. Ephesians, let's say 5. We are a place of worship. Place of worship. He says, like in Ephesians 5:16 says, 15 and 16, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Am I at the right place? Did I write this down now? Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. That's what happens in worship. We sing. Back in Ephesians 1, go back to Ephesians 1. I know I have several verses. Ephesians 1, in verse... I'm going to jump right mid-sentence here. It's verse 11 and 12. And having also obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsels of his will, to the end that who were the first to hope in Christ, we'd be to the praise of his glory. That what we do is to the praise of God's glory. Go to now Colossians 3. I'm going to skip around. Colossians 3. And of course, if you know me, I go verse by verse through scripture, but today it's going to be a little bit of a topical study. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. It's a place of worship. Of course, song is part of that place where we express our worship to God, right? And of course, you can express worship throughout the day, but as a body of believers, we gather together in person and sometimes online to worship God, right? And Jesus in John chapter 4 says to the woman at the well that the Father seeks for worshipers. In fact, go there. Let's just look at the scripture. John 4, the Father is seeking worshipers. He's seeking those who would worship him. Worship who? God. The church is about a place of worship and worshiping God. We are to worship God, not the preacher, not the worship leader, not the choir, not the entertainment. It's about God. The attention of the body of believers is on the adoration of God himself, right? Worship leaders help with facilitating us into the presence of God. The attention of our hearts is to be on God. Behold, we are to look to God. And what happens is sometimes in a lot of churches, the preacher becomes the center of attention. He becomes the object of worship. And the people worship him. If he, you know, they worship him like he's a god, and that's not meant to be. You, dear friend, if you're a pastor, a preacher, are meant to get out of the way. Let it not be that people say, man, he's a great preacher. Let it be said that I heard God today through that man. Right? John chapter 4, he says to the woman at the well in verse 23, Jesus says, an hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. First and foremost, church, the purpose of church is to worship God. To worship God. We are to worship God. It's a place of worship. And related to that, secondly, it's a house of prayer. It's a house of prayer. Now I'll go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Jesus, of course, who had dearly was zealous for his Father's house and for the work and the ministry at the Father's house, the temple, comes on the scene, and of course he sees people gathered about buying and selling and doing all kinds of crazy things. Matthew 21, verse 12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the temples of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. My house shall be called the house of prayer. We come to church to worship God, and we come to church to pray to God. So far, we've worshiped the Lord this morning, I believe, right? And my prayer is that we would also pray to God. God forbid that we would ever step foot into a church and leave without having prayed to God. Right? Some of us do not pray during the week, but let it be that we pray in the house of prayer. Amen? I don't want this to be a show. It's a house of prayer. Jesus takes, and you guys know the scene, Jesus takes those money changers and throws them out. Why? Because they were a distraction. Then, of course, they were taking and ripping people off and misrepresenting what God was about. And people could not go in and pray in full attention to the Lord without hearing the bleating of sheep and hearing the money changers doing their thing and being distracted with all kinds of things. Everything was getting in the way of the real purpose of the church, was to be a house of prayer. Our church is going to be a house of prayer. We're going to call on God. God to fill our house, right? I don't care how few people we have. Guess what? We're going to be a house of prayer and a house of worship. My house should be called a house of prayer. I've been to churches before where I've attended, I've walked out, and I've never prayed one prayer. And I did not like that, and I don't want that happening anymore. I want it to be where we have time of prayer here at church. We have church prayer before church, but during the service, time where people can come and talk to the Lord. If you come to church and have never had an encounter and have time where you pray to the Lord, you've been ripped off. Go to Paul makes a comment about prayer in church. Go to 1 Timothy 2. Go over to your right, 1 Timothy 2. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Paul gives instructions to Pastor Timothy, young pastor. He gives instructions about how church is to be run. And he goes, first of all, 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, and includes presidents you agree with or disagree with, includes emperors at that time who were very vicious and not really Christian, right? Who you suffered for following Jesus. All men, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. I want you to pray for all men, especially even those who are in authority, so that you may lead a quiet and tranquil life. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. Because I want the men to lift up holy hands, he says later on, right? To pray. James actually says, as well. Go to James chapter 5. Go to your right. I know it's a lot of going through scripture today. That's good. James 5. I haven't done a here's one. Here's another verse. James 5. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. It's the house of prayer. So in church, there ought to be prayer, right? There ought to be worship of God, and there ought to be prayer to God, and there ought to be prayer for people in authority, for people that are over you, and there ought to be prayer for one another. Pray for one another, right? So far, so good, right? Yeah. But he also adds, and this is another thing, it's also a church's is a house of prayer. It's a house, a place of worship, a place where you can encounter God, you can hear from God. You can listen. God forbid that we ever would step foot into a church and never encounter God. When you come to any church, and if you're watching online, I encourage you to actually be a part of a church. One church. Okay? Don't be a mall Christian. Be committed to a church where you can be shepherded and you can be involved with a body of believers and be encouraged and you can develop relationships and be rooted somewhere, right? Unfortunately, in America, we have the convenience of clicking here and clicking there and pastor here and pastor there. Sorry, the guy in line who lives in California is not your pastor. He doesn't know your name, and you're not there for him to shepherd you. Church is not something you go from your easy chair and just kind of click and say, I attended church today. I know COVID has kind of introduced us into an unusual thing. But you know what I'm saying? Being a part of Bible believers who call you up, hey, how you doing? Can I pray for you? Let's get together. Let's encourage one another. Body of believers, right? It's a place of worship, place of prayer. That's my first image. Second image, it's also a hospital. The church is a hospital. Let's just say here, this: Jesus is like the doctor. He's the great physician, right? And every single one of us is either broken or on the mends or helping somebody else has been broken, but we've been broken, right? It's full of broken people. It's a hospital. It's a place of healing for broken people. It is not a pageant where you can go and showcase how righteous and how good you are so that your imperfections are hid behind the wall so that you leave the church still broken. Right? It is a travesty that people have, church attenders of a church, have attended church day after day, year after year, year after year, and still leave broken. It's a travesty that you have attended church and you're still broken. You've been attending church for 30 years and you're still broken. You go to the hospital because something's broken. You go to the ER and you leave before somebody attends you. That would seem ridiculous, right? Okay, I'm preaching to the choir. It is a hospital. Not for you to feel like and dress yourself up and make you feel like you have it all together. No, it's a hospital for broken and hurting people. Christ calls the broken to himself. Go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is the key verse of our church. Isaiah 61 and Luke 4. Isaiah 61, the church. It's a house of prayer and worship. It's also a hospital. Isaiah 61, Jesus reads these verses in Luke 4. You can look at it another time. And watch this. This is the theme of Christ's ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Verse 1, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Those are people who are under some pressure, right? I've come to give you good news, right? Good news for healing, right? Good news for your soul. Good news to encourage you. Good news of God's favor. He has sent me to what? Bind up the brokenhearted. You come to church, you come to Christ, broken. 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 The scene in the Gospels. One side is a tax collector that says, thank you, Lord, I am not like this sinful guy over here. There's a Pharisee here, and there's a tax collector here, and the tax collector is beating himself, and he says, woe is me, be merciful to me, Lord, the sinner. He's so ashamed, he's so embarrassed, he knows his sin, he's broken over his sin, he can't even look up to heaven. And here comes this Pharisee who, Pharisees always watch people, right? They're always looking at somebody else to compare themselves. They're always, well, I'm better than that person. At least I'm not like that person, right? I've done this, that, and the other, you know, this, that, you know, I was on the deacon board and, you know, I was a pastor so-and-so and I was a, you know, I was an Eagle Scout too, you know? I mean, that kind of stuff, right? At least I'm like that guy. I have this position of this pride, you know? And he's blind. You're blind to your own sin. This man's broken over here. And who receives mercy from God? This man went home justified, Jesus said. This man went because he thought it was all about how good he looked and how good he demonstrates himself. You come to church, you come to a hospital. I want God to bring broken people to. Those of you watching online, if you've been watching our prayer requests and things like that, come if you're broken, right? Come if you're imperfect. Come if you're wounded. Come if you're needing healing. You come if you need forgiveness. You've messed up. Do not come if you feel like you're perfect, because guess what? We're a hospital. We're not a country club. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The Lord says that he dwells closest with those who are humble and contrite of heart, those who are broken. Church is not about you.
It's about Dr. Jesus. And his arms are open wide. His arms are. Whoever comes to me, I will no way cast away. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. If you're broken, if you know you're broken, the church ought to be a hospital to you, a hospital to your soul. And by the way, all of us break in different ways, and some of us have had wounds for years. Some of us have been so embarrassed of our wounds. We've protected them. We've come to church, put on a good show. We have it all together, because that's what you're supposed to do. But we've walked away, still nursing those wounds, never allowing the Lord to minister there. Maybe there's been bad experiences at church where people say, "You did what? You did that? How could you?" Listen, except for God's grace, every single one of us could do the worst things possible. Amen. Except for the grace of God, all of us are capable of the most horrible things. You know what I love about Jesus, besides among other things, is he decides to pick and choose the worst of the worst to rescue them and have them serve, right? He picks a Moses who murdered somebody, right? He picks a David who had adultery and murdered the lady's husband. He picks a Paul, a Saul, who was persecuting his church to not just rescue him, but make him the Apostle Paul. Who does this but Christ? Jesus doesn't want you necessarily to demonstrate your own perfections. He wants you to demonstrate his grace to others. I was wounded, but he healed me up. He restored me. He's the great physician. It's a hospital. It's a place of healing for the broken. Go to Ezekiel 34. I'm going to just... Ezekiel 34. We're already in Isaiah, so what do you write? A little bit more towards the New Testament. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel 34. I can do a whole series on Ezekiel 34, but I won't. Ezekiel 34 is basically God speaking to the really bad shepherds of Israel and what they did, what they didn't do, and promising his good shepherd. Look what he says. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds," Ezekiel 34, verse 2, "Thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock?" Oh, there it is. Church is a place where you get fed for the broken. The sheep get fed. You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. And those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. And the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. He's talking to the shepherds, the leaders, the pastors of Israel, who should have been doing these things. You should be out seeking the lost and healing broken and getting... feeding them and strengthening them. But no, they made it about themselves. Before sin, with severity, you dominated them, and now they're scattered. He speaks words against these. I'll skip on now to verse 11. God says in verse 11, "I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And as the shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep. And I will deliver them from all the places which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and draw them from the countries. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel." Skip on all the way down to verse
15. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost and bring back the scattered and bind up the broken. There it is. And strengthen the sick. Church is a place where you are receive healing. You worship God. You pray to God. It's a place of prayer and worship. It's a hospital where the Lord ministers to you. If you're at a church where you're not praying and worshiping God, and you're not receiving healing, either through the feeding of the Word of God, the prayer, ministry of one another, and you never even, that wound is never even touched, I don't know where, I don't know. I don't want to judge that church, but God forbid that you should walk wounded year after year after year without having an encounter with the Lord. Every person in the New Testament, in the Gospels, save the Pharisees who never came to Jesus, rightly, but every person who truly came to Christ, knowing their need, knowing their hurt, knowing their situation, every person that came away, healed or delivered, set free, ministered to. People who were demon-possessed, people who had diseases, people who had suffered, every person who was guilty of sin and was caught in adultery, left forgiven. Every person who encountered Christ left differently. Church is meant to be the gathering of believers, worshiping of God, prayer to God, and ministering like a hospital so people can encounter Dr. Jesus to minister their soul. And you may think, I'm too proud to show people, I'm too embarrassed, I'm too all this kind of stuff, because I have this image to create and this image to uphold. But guess what? The Lord sees where you're at. And you're still hurting, and you're still hurting, and you go searching and searching, and looking for, you go to this doctor and this person and everything else, and no help. Come to Christ. Come to the one who calls sinners to salvation, who binds up the brokenhearted, who heals all your wounds. So the church is meant to be a house of prayer, right? It's meant to be a hospital. I better be quick here because I'm going to try to go short on time. Thirdly, it's meant to be a school. It's a place where disciples are made, right? It's a place where we're meant to grow in this wonderful relationship with Jesus. There is a progression. If you if you look at the scriptures, like in Isaiah 61, there's a progression from being broken to being healed to then becoming ones who help others through the process. Go back to Isaiah 61. Just go back there, okay? You're not that far away. You're in Ezekiel, so go back to your left, Isaiah 61. And yes, I had coffee this morning, so and bless God. God is good, right? Right? So, Isaiah 61, he sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. Right? All kinds of needs here, right? Those who are in spiritual bondage, those who are captive to their past and to their sin and to their desires and to the flesh. He's come to set you free. And those who have been broken, those who are mournful, watch this, to proclaim, verse 2, the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn, giving them a garland, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, and ashes is a sign of mourning because you poured ashes in yourself, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. See, there's a transition there, right? They come in wounded, they come in lost, they come in bound, right? But they don't leave that way. There's a transition. Instead of this is that. Instead of mourning, there's gladness. Instead of fainting, there's praise. There's There's a transition. And so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He takes the most messed up people and he transitions them. He transforms them into oaks of righteousness for the Lord, right? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, Jesus says to disciples. The world is looking for an answer, aren't they, right? The world is looking for answers. And they're coming up with the craziest things, never solving the... We have the answers. And church, we are meant to be different than the world, amen? Amen. The church is a spiritual body, amen? And we are meant to be distinct. We are meant to be salt and light and a beacon of hope and truth. And we're meant to be different. The world expects us to be different. Right? When we start behaving and doing performances like we are in the world to compete with Hollywood and all that, we are not becoming, I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. We have, every person on the planet Earth is infected with the most terrible disease called sin. You come to Christ to be healed of that, right? Then you tell us, look what I found. I was broken, now I'm healed. Now we tell others, right? Watch the transition. Again, the church is like a school. Watch this. They go from lost and broken and captive and bound, transitioning to gladness and praise and righteousness. And then watch what happens. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. Verse 4, they will rise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities. They will, desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will... There's a transition there. And then it says this, but you, verse 6, you will be called the priest of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. See that transition there? From broken and lost to now healed to now being used to help others. Watch this. It is, the church is a place where disciples are made, where we now grow to be like Jesus. It's a school. It's a house of prayer and worship. It's a hospital and it's a school. Go to Matthew 28. And I'll finish up in a second here. Now, if I was at a Pentecostal church, that would be like the next 30 minutes. That's my introduction to that. Yeah. Now winding down, you know, and 30 minutes later we finish up, you know. Matthew 28, verse 19. Great Commission. We're going to read it. Matthew 28, verse 19, if I can find it. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, say, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. A disciple is a learner of Jesus. To disciple means to teach and to learn, right? We come and we are fed the Word of God. We are taught the Word of God. Our desire, when you come to church, it's to worship and praise God, right? It is to commune with God with prayer. It is to receive an encounter with Christ and receive healing. But then it's also to listen and to learn. And whoever is speaking, you say, Lord, speak through that person. Lord, speak if your servant is listening. Come, wanting to learn more of Christ, right? When you read your Bible, Lord, speak to me. I want to become more like you. I want to learn of your ways. So that we as disciples go out into the world and they say, you're different. There's something different about you. The way you conduct yourself, the way you behave, the way you talk. You're not from around here, are you? No, I'm actually born again from God. And I follow Jesus. Place where disciples are made, where we become more and more like Christ. Go to Colossians 1, because this is Paul's comment of the goal of his instruction, goal of the church. In Colossians 1, and I'll finish up. Colossians 1, verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Let me read it again. We proclaim him, admonishing every man. That's, and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that, there's a purpose, or to this end, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Maturity that happens. We are to be complete in Christ through sound teaching. That comes through the learning of Christ, through the Word of God. Go to a church where the Bible's opened, where it's dug in, where we can't wait to learn of Jesus. Then you run far away from any churches that neglect His Word. There's a whole wing in the church wrong today that are denying the Word of God. They're saying it's full of errors, and so now they're taking on other things. They're saying they're picking and choosing what they want to hear, what they want to listen to. But God says, Jesus says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen? Amen. What is the church? It's a house of prayer and praise. It's a hospital. And it's a school. And what is it not? It's not a masquerade party. It's not an entertainment center. It's not a worldly place where the world feels fit in. It's not a place where we seek the world's approval, actually. Right? It's a place where we encounter the Lord. Today, I want to encourage you. As you finish up, I want to take a few minutes and quietly in prayer between you and God, talk to the Lord. Confess your sins. Ask God for His help and healing. Let's do that just for a few minutes, and then I'll close the service. Lord, we thank you that you are present here and that you are here to minister through your Holy Spirit. We've come to worship you and praise you and adore you and pray to you, Lord. And we come as broken people, Lord, seeking your help and your healing. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Minister, Lord, to our wounds and our hurts, Lord. Bind up the brokenhearted, we pray. Give us a mantle of praise, Lord, instead of mourning. A spirit of gladness, Lord, instead of sorrow. We pray, Lord, that you would make us into your image. Make us to be mature and complete in Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for holding on to past hurts. Forgive us, Lord, for holding bitterness against others. Forgive us, Lord, for looking to others, Lord, instead of you, for our help. Renew a steadfast spirit within us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, if you're online, if you prayed or you have any prayer needs and you want to contact us, just do a comment there, or you can email us at info@resurrectionchurchaz.com. That's info@resurrectionchurchaz.com. We pray that you have a blessed rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week. Take care.